You're listening to Tech with Heart, empowering business success in a digital era. Sponsored by Revelio, innovative software solutions that make your business come alive. Here is your host, international best-selling author, speaker, female tech founder, and innovative expert, Michelle Calloway.
Welcome to Tech with Heart. I am your host, Michelle Calloway, and I am delighted today to have with me former Marine Al Renteria. Thank you for joining us, Al.
Great to be here, Michelle. It's such a pleasure to connect.
Let me tell you a little bit about Al. He's a 26-year Marine, retired, and he's developed a strategic and logistical mindset that has influenced his post-service life. He has developed, informed, and founded two successful national nonprofits, Operation Interdependence, which OI, and the Southwest Veteran Business Resource Center, SWVBRC, which we're going to talk a little bit more about in our interview today. And he's a real big collaborator and connector for the civilian population to the veteran population, entrepreneurship, and he also has a bachelor's of science degree in computer science and a master of science degree in electronic commerce. And he's really all about bringing those two communities together, the civilian community with the veteran community. So with that, I want to welcome Al. Thank you so much for joining us on the Tech with Heart show today. Why don't you go ahead and start off this interview by sharing a little bit about your 26 years experience and what has led you to become a leader in providing these services and this empowerment mentality that you have?
Well, Michelle, we're Marines, okay? The Marines are your smallest infrastructure, as it points out to, you know, the cost to deploy. And Marines believe that we will take what you don't want, the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, and focus on the taxpayer's burden. So when we take something, we take it usually broken and we make it the best. So that's where my culture has come from. I joined at 17 to 26 years, and the empowerment of leading by example is important to me. So when I retired, I used all of my VA benefits. I'm a 50% service connected. And I recognized that if I'm going to be a master of the Department of Defense process, I must become a master of post-service care, which is the VA. And I served on recruiting duty from 1977 to 80 in Chicago. Back in the day, post-Vietnam War, recruiting was not the place you want to be. America kind of despised post-Vietnam veterans. And as I retired, I realized that America loved us, because I went to the Gulf War in 1990-91, and America's outcry for us was amazing. They sent us care package while I was deployed to Jabal, and I was a logistical manpower officer. And I had to distribute guns, weapons, and meals. And there was too much care for us. So we had a problem with delivering care packages. So when I came out, I wanted to educate America that the best way to support us deployed forces was with a letter and samplings of stuff. The greatest thing you sent us was a letter from a child caring about you. The rest was just pokey bait, as we call it. So I launched Operation Independence in 2000. It's still fully volunteered today. And that was the first step, because America loves us is how do they support us? And I trademark observettes, handshakes, not handouts. Don't feel sorry for me. Put me to work by holding me accountable by all the things I learned. So across America, I discovered that because the redemption of the Vietnam era, they have been influential in showing support for us, serve us like we serve them. Well, our service never ends, and that points to my retirement date, April 1st of 2000, intentionally April Fool's Day. The service never ends for Marine. So fast forwarding, you know, in conjunction, I started my own business, the ARC, the Albert R. Renteria Corporation, trademarked the ARC. ARC is kind of symbolic to the ARC, right? And it was important to me that because 26 Marine Corps, I was taught to have symbols, to have the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, the few, the proud. So branding has been my expertise. So I've been doing a lot of different things in the past 20 years, which I celebrate April 1st of 2000, also the 9th Annual Veteran Small Business Summit. And it's important to me to let the American people know that we have the wherewithal, we have the capacity. But how you challenge that is by raising them with information. Technology affords us to say, you ain't got to read it now, but it's only a click away. Imagine back in the day when we wanted a roster of troops. I had to submit a request. 30, 45 days later, I got the roster. Today, a click. And in seconds, I got the roster. So we have garnered time. So today, I definitely want to talk about the differences of today, yesterday, and how 2020 is all about our vision. And how do we leverage our vision with the use of technology? So I don't want to bore you with all the details in the weeds, but what's important to me is how do we realize that by the year 2035, 70% of the nearly 20 million veterans will be deceased because they're post or Vietnam era. We're growing only at a 10% rate. So 40% of today's 100% of veteran population will be the new 100%. So how do we get the American people, the veterans, to realize how we merge and fuse these resources together so we have a better stability and the love for veterans never dies off?
That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing all of that. I know you have a big vision, and I'm so excited to be able to share this vision with others in America, as well as the world, with this interview here. And let's talk a little bit about handshakes, not handouts. I know you have quite a bit of knowledge that you can potentially share with veterans who are interested in have an entrepreneurial spirit or want to go into business. Can you share a little bit about some resources that they may be able to start off with, and then, you know, go ahead and lead us down whatever path the handshakes, not handouts, leads to?
The biggest dilemma is the transition from active to not active. Because I'm an expert in the DoD programs, the Department of Defense is mandated by federal law to advise a service member a year before they get discharged or retire, and then 6 months to drop a bunch of information to that active service member on getting ready to exit. The Department of Defense cannot afford to talk about post-service stuff. They're more focused operationally. Train, deploy, fight, come back, and the cycle goes on. So the first step for a veteran is while they're on active duty. So we have two markets here, active duty guy and the veteran guy. And while on active duty, because this is important to them, is your post-service care will be based on any evidence that has been established while in service for veteran affairs benefits. And a lot of veterans, active duty guys, don't complain because we suck it up. Sucking up is key, but as you start thinking about transitioning, realize the things you have not said for the period of time you served, and document that in your medical record, because that's important, that's your evidence. The doctor, the medic is going to make sure they justify or validate your complaint, and that's important, because you have injuries. When you get out, the first thing you want to do is seek out the VA or the VA resources out there. The VA is responsible to serve a veteran that has evidence of service-connected injuries. And they have 8 groups in the VA. Group 1 is your basic intake form. Group 8 is you know, high-intensity medical care. But those designators will be assigned to you from 0% to 100%. In the state of California alone, if you're a 0% rated veteran, you get free education for your children. Did you know that? Others don't know that. So when the American people look at this and they say, gosh, you know, we're really caring for the veteran with all this financial support, they suppress the line of where the veteran ought to get that support, because that's key, because these are federally funds. They support you federally, directly or indirectly. So when I tell a veteran, you know, where you're at, and I speak to 1,000 all over the country, and they give me the initial complaint, I go, well, do you have evidence? No. Says, well, why don't you have evidence? Well, do you have a friend that knows you that you conducted an injury? That's evidence. Says, yeah. So I go, let's start there first. But the first step is the VA is like the veteran's Facebook, if you will, okay? And they want you to register with them so they know that you exist. Maybe 20% on the high end register with the VA Facebook. They have my eBenefits website. They have my VA Help website. They have all these websites where you can do all this technology-wise by just uploading stuff. But the most important factor, it gives VA a clearer understanding of how big their Facebook platform is. But if we're 20 million and only 20%, which is not that many, is in that platform, we need to look at the VA as a Facebook platform where half a billion Americans, or half a billion worldwide, are on the Facebook platform. And the concept there is to learn the aggregate of those people commercially to figure out what the sales are. In our case, the VA wants to know that we exist. The VA wants to know what evidence do you have. So veterans definitely need to go to va.gov. If they were to ask me what platform should I send it, go va.gov. There's a search box and type in burial. Type in memorial and the website to that comes in. Type in VIP for veterans information pages. And they'll find that for the business owners. But the reason this is critical to me, an entrepreneur like you and I, we must know what the demographics demands. What is the demand? Supply and demand is the key. So if a veteran wants to sell something, they ought to sell to VA because that's now Supreme Court law. But if there's not enough veterans in the VA system, the VA cannot buy something for someone that's not using it. So the idea is, how do we engage post-service members? And the first thing we got to do, Michelle, is to tell them to get in the VA line. But we also got to tell the American people, when you offer them a steak and lobster, they're not going to go get that hamburger. And the steak and lobster is funding raised for care for them, but we need to guide the American people to push them in the line of the VA. And as artists as may be, or the difficulty behind it, what's important is in them doing so, they inject federal funding into the state of California or in the state that they're from. That money's there. It's been promised to us. And we'll never lose it until the American people say, we don't want you to have it. And having served on recruiting duty, we have sold the idea that you have post-service care, but you got to have evidence of an injury, and then you got to go claim, you know, your rating. So there's a lot of things to consider. And again, if I were to guide anybody anywhere, I definitely would say go to VA.gov, the Facebook of us veterans. Find out why the veteran you know is not listed there. And that's the first step. And it's an easy step. That's called Tech with Heart. I've heard that somewhere. I wonder where I heard that from. Do you understand that, Michelle?
Essentially, even if you don't have a service-related injury, there are still services available afforded to you through the VA if you are an entrepreneur that wants to get off your own, start off your own business as a veteran, from what I remember. Isn't there some level of resources and training grounds? There's a lot of nonprofits out there that exist to provide that education, that empowerment for veterans who are seeking to start their own business.
When you look up VA VIP, the Supreme Court says that the VA must buy from a veteran-owned business. And there's two tiers, the SDVOB, which is a service-disabled veteran that has a VA rating, and the veteran-owned business that has no rating, but they're veteran-owned. So what they got to realize is that when you look for the demand of services, and if the VA is mandated by law to buy from us, they got to get verified with the VA to make sure they are honorably served. So what they also need to realize that the SBA is funded with what is called the VBOC, Veteran Business Outreach Centers, heavily funded, to where they get information. Now, the VBOC has grown from 2 to 3 from when I started, to about 35 across the country. State of California has one in Sacramento and one here in San Diego. But there's only 2 people, and they get funded by $250,000 a year to reach out to these veterans, primarily with the Department of Defense guys. So what you got to realize is the VA, the procurement side, is looking for veteran owners to buy from. Their inventory is only 13,000 nationwide, of which 10,000 are service disabled and 3,000 are veteran owned, no service disabled. So when you ask the question about resources and benefits, they're enormous but complicated. But the technology aspect of it kind of resolves that complexity, because if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you and I know, you got to do market research. You need to make the demand. You got to know who's buying, who's your competitor. So that's in itself a burdensome. So if an entrepreneur does that, they ought to allocate a bit of their time, that 24-hour cycle, to figure out what is the benefit of being designated as a veteran-owned business? That's the designation. And when you carry that designation with pride, America knows that you are a verified veteran, not a wannabe veteran business. Because that's really the challenge for us. A lot of folks profess to be a veteran, but they're not verified with the VA. And a lot of folks say, well, I don't want to get verified with the VA, but you need to have public trust. So when the public knows you've been verified by the VA, you took the necessary steps as an entrepreneur to leverage the availability of resource and exposure. If you don't do that, you're inviting others to pretend, and then our VA Facebook is only 13,000 strong, when it ought to be 20 million strong. And that's technology. So when we interface that conversation in that sense, it makes sense. And we want the American people to know that the veteran-owned, whether it's service-connected or not, is America's number one choice. And I designate that true if I know that veteran took the time to verify their business with the VA.
It's a beautiful point, because if you are a veteran, you think that that's enough, but we need to have proof that you are a veteran. And so getting registered with the VA is obviously king. You need to do that first. And then I love the fact that you said, gather up your evidence. If you are injured at all, or you used to be one way, but now you're another way, you know, get evidence of that. And so that'll support you in any claims once you get out of the military. I also know that there are some free resources available to all entrepreneurs, whether you're a veteran or not. And one of those is an entity called SCORE. SCORE will help you with your business plan. You know, you need to do market research. You need to identify whether or not the business that you're, the idea that you have is indeed going to be a viable business. SCORE is a resource that's available for free. It's an acronym, but it's SCORE.com, I believe you can go. And then there's also the Small Business Development Center, which is a branch of the SBA, which is the Small Business Administration, which is a federally funded program as well. So those are all resources that will help you with your business plan. Because planning, if you don't plan, you're going to plan to fail. And so you really do need to do your homework if you are interested in starting up your own business. But being verified to the VA does give you a leg up. And there is a tremendous amount of desire to support veterans in America. Like Al was saying, you know, Americans love their veterans. So we don't want to just support them while they're boots on the ground in service, active duty. We also want to support them when they come out to transition very successfully and healthily into whatever it is their next part of their life is going to be. And some of them, they're really great fits for being a business owner. So I'm really glad we're having this conversation. And hopefully if you're listening, you find this very beneficial to you. So let's move into a realm where we're talking about the connect, learn, secure, and create. That is something that you stand for. You've learned along the way yourself how to create systems, and now you're really passionate about bringing these training mechanisms into place for veterans. You've created this SWVBRC, which is Southwest Veterans Business Resource Center. Let's tell us a little bit more about that and then some of the events that you have for veterans in that regard.
During the Gulf War, we did a lot of studying before we went to that war, particularly things of the past. The worst case scenario in the war is we lose a son or a daughter, a father or a mother, a brother or sister. And the Department of Defense is mandated by law to notify the next kin within 8 hours. So before we did Gulf War, when the barracks were blown up in Bahrain, there's 200 Marines, and they had their paper record book, which had the service group life insurance, their next of kin, all those things that were viable to let the survivors know who to notify in the event there was a fatality. But when the barracks got blown up, so did the record books. And the updates of those files did not get to Department of Defense, Washington, D.C., to say, if something goes wrong, notify the next of kin. So the next of kins were notified with old information, not the wishes of the deceased. So we went to the Gulf War, we leveraged technology to the fullest. We didn't want to repeat that error in our history. So I was involved in making sure everything was in a reach back capacity, electronically documented, to where if that were to happen, to include to me, is my wishes, my intent, My pay's arrears, my service group life insurance was in the hands electronically. So when I went to the Gulf War, I was trained to appreciate that the most valuable thing was Abraham Lincoln's quote, to care for the orphan and its widow. And as we did that, General Mattis at the time was a one-star, General Kulak was a one-star, he became the Commandant of the Marine Corps, is how do we reduce the widow factor? How do we protect the next of kin that the service member wanted to care for? So we went totally paperless. And as a result of going totally paperless, we realized we can reduce the footprint deployed in a war environment. Back in the day, it's one in for every trigger puller, the true grunt, fighting the enemy eye to eye. It took 18 of us service types, because I'm a service type, to make sure we're there for that single grunt. All the logistics that came with, hence strategically driven, logistically minded. And of that 19, you had additional 50 people, so about 67 service components to protect that entire trigger puller, the grunt. Technology afforded us to cut that in half, literally, and reduce the footprint overseas by not deploying some of these service types, because now we fly drones from Vegas, as you know. So as I got out, I realized what I needed to do. You call it passion, I call it purpose. The whole idea of the Department of Defense is to let the American people live freely, prosperously, without knowing that we exist. That's important. So as America cares for us, and we fall shorter in numbers because of technology and reach back and a less fighting force on the ground overseas, we reduce the burden of the taxpayer, we reduce the burden of the donor. So what I was inspired to realize is, how am I gonna leverage what I know and disseminate it? Now, I've been retired 20 years now, and I've done this progressively. I call it pre-position. The one thing I did learn about the military is we pre-position ourselves around the world. Put heavy equipment in some spot managed by 3-4 guys. So if we go to war, we don't have to move that cost. It's already there. And we fall on that equipment. So all those things I learned, I applied post-service military. I've mastered what I didn't know. You know, I've understood that at the end of the day, veterans want to extract civilians from harm's way. And in our great nation, harm's way at home is a homeless environment. And if we realize that veterans that have the tenacity, the wherewithal, the knowledge, and you don't feel sorry for them, but you hold them accountable, they can literally extract the civilian in a homeless environment into an economic environment. So how do you build the economy? Well, we veterans go pursue our benefits. We veterans realize that we have something to the table. I call it the hidden treasure, because if you don't pursue your benefits, you don't boost this economy. So I like to say that what's important to me for these organizations I built is how to be not financially stable as a nonprofit, but people stable. Both nonprofits are 100% volunteer nationwide. OI still is. And Southwest is. And the way I achieved that is I read a lot of case studies. And I read a study where someone said, as an employee, what are the top three things you want? And it was not salary. It was time to volunteer, time to get back, and then salary, okay? Because the American people have a big heart. And I see that in your video, Tech, what a heart. So if you have a big heart, you gotta think not with your heart, but with your brain, hence the word tech. Tech is a intellectual aspect, heart is an emotional aspect. And when you combine tech with a heart, you're saying, look, have a heart, but be informed. And by being informed, your heart reaches more. So those are things that's important to me, because if we have the knowledge and the capacity and the resources, then we can make a difference, because we're thinking it through, we're not emotionally responding. Because America is great because of its people. And if people give, and if we know that giving it this way is a handout, giving it that way is a handshake, that's important.
When we return, we're going to talk to Al a little bit more about Ops for Vets and also why the beard. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The problem is that business owners are losing millions of dollars of potential revenue each year because they don't know how to stand apart from the competition. I'm Michelle Pavoy. I am the founder and CEO of Revelio, an augmented reality marketing tool that we've created for business owners like you to help you captivate people's attention.
Oh, that's so cool!
Influence their buying decisions.
Oh, I like it. Okay. I like that a lot. Oh, I want that.
I love it.
We do this by making your brand or product come alive with virtual content. You can actually take a viewer through the entire buyer's journey in less than 60 seconds. It's super easy to do. Just send us your artwork, send us your video, and we'll connect them and make the magic happen. So start standing out and influencing today.
All right, welcome back. I'm so excited to have Al Renteria with us, and we're talking about how we can support and empower our military to become business owners and how we can help educate and empower the public to support our veterans so that it's all this win-win. Al is a great connector, and previously we talked about a couple of nonprofits he created that support the resources for veterans, but now we're going to talk a little bit about what Ops for Vets is and what does it mean to have skin in the game. Al?
Well, Michelle, again, it's good to be here. It's so much fun. I still look at that Tech with Heart. That really, really tugs at me. And I use the intellectual component to that. Opportunities for veterans, OptiVets, handshakes, not handouts. And the logo, by the way, was made by my nephew, who is a career sailor out of Norfolk, because he's an artist. He's a tattoo artist. So I said, hey, Johnny, can you put something together for me? Here's my vision. And he drew the logo, and hence the logo, okay? But opportunities for veterans is simple. Because America loves us, we can either take or deliver. And veterans always deliver. So because there's a demand for service with integrity, everyone that served this great nation has integrity of service. They were willing to join the service and know they may not come back. Those that came back certainly lost somebody they knew or missed. And our opportunity is all about leveraging what we know and not wanting a handshake. We're not a charity group of folks. We deliver with the minimum resources possible. So what happens in the business world, as you know, teaming up is important. Buyers are looking for us and they can't find us. So opportunities, OpsOrVets.com website is designed for America to find us at OpsOrVets. So you click on it, you look at the CVE directory for courage, volunteer, and experience, and you'll see a series of veteran owners that are verified with the VA. And I want the veterans to be found easier. So when you go to OpsOrVets and you click on any of those businesses, there's a thing called CVE link. When you click on it, it points you to the federal VA website that demonstrates that you're verified. Again, that's our Facebook. And if you're on that Facebook, you must be eligible to be on that Facebook. Not anybody can be on it. And there's only 13,000. So I wanted to make a platform that was no cost to our OpsOrVets members, except for three true costs. Cost one, serve your great nation. Cost two, you only be discharged and start your business. Cost three, take the time to get verified. And it's a pain, trust me. But once you invest that cost, OpsOrVets is always free. And that's important because as America realizes that we can be found easy, we are being sought out because we're America's number one choice. But no one is making it easy for America to find their number one choice. And that's what OpsOrVets, Handshakes, Not Handouts is all about. Buy from us. You don't need to give to us. We will deliver the best product that your money can buy.
One of the things OpsOrVets does is it gives you that upfront visibility, not only for veterans to do business with other veterans, but for civilians to want to do business with veterans. So it's a win-win. OpsForVets.com, easy to find. And then don't you also put together some annual summits and skin in the game events and stuff like that so that business owners can meet business owners or buyers from perhaps even some government entities can come and find veteran businesses to do business with?
April of this past year, I launched Skin in the Game Across America. Angel Carrera, who was the Department of Dental Service Outreach Director, passed away last year, sadly. But he took part of our first Skin in the Game in Monterey, April of 2019. And we issued out this award. I don't know if you can see it or not. But this is our Skin in the Game. And Skin in the Game is any veteran that's verified an OPSOS member that participates with our summit virtually or on site. And it's my intent to promote across America that a veteran that does those three things I said earlier is Skin in the Game. The annual summit is done wherever we find that to be appropriate. Moreno Valley, the city of Moreno Valley, for example, gives us that venue at no cost. They're home of the March Air Force Reserve Base, very prominent military community. So every year at businesssummit.org, we will promote, push. I create all the videos as you've seen them. And the key thing about businesssummit.org that we do, it's really about connecting, not veterans to veterans, but veterans with the community, with primes, with buyers, commercially. In the past, events are, who are the corporate sponsors? Come see the big buyer. I'm saying your big buyer is your veteran-owned business. So I have all their logos on the forefront, and I want you to come to the summit to see America's number one choice. So that's important, because as you bury the small business, you're not connecting with that small business, hence connect. We want to learn the value of what these small veteran business owners bring to the table. So big business can come see them, because we want to secure these opportunities, contracts. Now, contracts is not the only thing I tell folks to secure at the summit. I say secure relationships, secure information, because at some point, you're going to leverage that to create jobs. Now, jobs is not the only thing we create. We're creating this video. So to connect, learn, secure, and create is about how it applies to the moment. When you leverage all this information, again, I look at that tech with the heart. This technology is designed to disseminate valuable information, and then from there, you become well-informed on what to do with your hard-earned money. And you always want to buy something that you know you need at the price you can afford. And this is why the Summit and OPSOS are important. The Southwest is important. OI is important, because it's about the limited resources we have as a world, as a globe. And if we don't get smart in how to leverage these resources, we will outlive these resources. I attended one of the SBA meetings years ago on consumption, the consumer's consumption of goods and services. And right now, the consumption worldwide is at 130%. And they said that if we continue to consume at 130%, we will have less than 80 years left to survive. So our consumption has to be done with tech with a heart. Tech with a heart to me means, how do you learn how best to leverage your resources that may be limited? You consume them up front, then you agree to have nothing at the end. So you gotta spread load your resources. And technology and information and these business summits is all about the connect. What are we connecting for? To learn. Why are we learning? So we can secure. And securing to be the future. Not for you and me, but for those kids that follow us, the descendants. So we can create more opportunity, more jobs. You know, technology reminds me of the old days when you heard about the icebox, and you had a bunch of horses and carriages, and you had an icebox in the house so they can preserve the vegetables and the meat so you can have it for a long period of time. That was technology at the time. Then you got refrigeration. Well, guess what happened to those drivers and those ice cube deliverers? They were gone. So it would force the people to learn how to fix a refrigerator and how to sell it. So fast forward to today, is what we're learning through technology is our consumption of resources is at 130%. So how do we rethink that? Well, to me, it's simple. Is when you connect a community of folks, the veteran and the civilian, and realize that the veteran brings a lot of federal resources in their state, then that's a consumption that we have not taken advantage of. And what I mean by that is I've earned it. Veterans have earned it. So when you hear the word take advantage of, veterans have a tendency to say, well, I don't want to take advantage of that. So I'll rephrase that word, is you've earned it. Go pursue what you've earned. The American people want you to have that. And failing to do that, you give the wrong messages that we're a charity and not a business. So this whole thing here is driven by what I want to see happen by year 2035. And because of this communication, I know it's going to get out there quicker, 15 years. I've been, 20 years elapsed. And by the year 15, we will together eradicate the notion of a homeless veteran.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of lead into that next with the question of, why the beard?
I'm a Marine. And for many years, I shaved and had a Marine Corps haircut. And then one day I just woke up and says, look, I don't have time for that anymore. I'm not going to shave until I achieve my purpose, and that's to eradicate the notion of a homeless veteran by year 2035. Then I'll shave and get a haircut. Because if we're sincere about making a difference, then you have to look like that. So this is my new look, because I am serious, and I'm not trimmed it. My wife of 40-some years says, I'm going to cut it. I go, no, you ever hear the song or the movie of Samson? They cut the beard and burned his eyes. He moved the two pillars anyways. But everybody has a purpose, and they leverage whatever they can to brand that purpose. My beard is my brand to eradicate the notion of a homeless veteran by the year 2035.
And the way you go about eradicating that is through some of the services that we talked about. You want to expand a little bit about
the way I'm going to eradicate that. Imagine 2 million veterans in the state of California. Maybe 20% have sought their VA benefits. On average, Michelle, every veteran that uses the VA and registers into the VA, they will generate at least $10,000 a year in federal benefits directly or indirectly. Because the service increases with the VA and the law requires the VA to use a veteran, and there's only 13,000, the demand of the VA will require more veteran business owners. So when you think about the logic table on that, is let's presume that of the 2 million veterans, 1 million are business owners. 1 million, and 100% of that million is registered with the VA to be a business owner. And because every veteran now is using the VA must buy more products and services. So when a product and service is bought, it boosts the economy with cash flow. Correct? And when there's a transaction that requires money out of your pocket, it puts money back into people's pocket. It creates jobs. The homeless factor is a 1 out of 5 homeless adults happens to be a veteran. I say, well, let's get that veteran to extract the 4 civilians. The only way you can extract those 4 civilians is by creating business opportunities and jobs, right? So if I see these veterans that are out there, and I've seen many of them, I've been able to convert them. And a lot of them see that because we were trained to extract civilians from harm's way. And if we keep true to that mission, just because you got out doesn't mean you can't achieve that. So my complex logic, if you will, and my long beard and hair and hat now, is to say, I'm still burning midnight oil because I know it can work. If we use tech with a heart, that's what I love. I got to keep saying tech with a heart, because if you have a heart for others, there is technology. Because technology will say, when you crunch the numbers, how many veterans are there? How many civilians are? What's the cost flow? What's the score, the SBA programs? That's all money put into the system to support some group. And when that money's there to support the group called the veteran, and 10% of the veteran uses that, that's money being spent with a 10% outcome. In the business world, it ought to be 100% outcome for veterans. So if I get this information disseminated to the population as I have for the past 20 years, it's slow growth, but 2020 means speed, efficiency, and effectiveness. Acronym C. C2020 as a different starting decade to leverage technology, particularly with a heart, and get there, because we can see 2020. And that's what I do, is I listen to the people. I've been to every U.S. state, met the high-end, low-end, middle-end. I met a lot of homeless folks. So for me to be true to this, I got to look homeless. Let me tell you a funny story. I was on the curb waiting for my wife at the store with my grandson, and we took all those little cars and we're playing on the curb. Somebody approached me and gave me $20. I said, sorry, I can't take your money. I don't need it. You know, can I help you anyway? But that tells you the heart of America. What they see, they care about. And the gentleman was kind. And I could easily took the $20. But that's what I know about America. I was in Alaska, and there was this organization that had a coffee shop, and he was hiring veterans, okay? And he was training them how to peddle contribution. If you like veterans, donate to veterans. So they guys would scream, says, go get a job. And he flipped the sign and says, this is my job. Okay. So how we leverage technology and the heart and the passion and behavior of others is important, because we must maintain the public's trust. The public trusts those that do something to deliver something. But it should not be at their expense or at their burden. It should be a integrity approach. And that integrity is important to me, because no one can take my integrity away. No one can take yours away unless you give it to me.
So handshakes, not handouts.
There you go.
I love that. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Al. You've been incredibly enlightening, and you have a tremendous amount of empowerment tools and resources under your belt. And so we're going to make sure that we put those resources available to you on the video if you're watching the video. If you're listening to it over the airwaves, then we're going to also be able to make those resources available to you in our Facebook group. And before we go, I just want to reiterate what Tech with Heart is all about. So Tech with Heart came about as a mission to empower business success in a rapidly changing digital era, in a day when innovative companies like Amazon are just crushing their competitors like Rolaid tablets. We business owners need to step up and be more agile and maintain more relevancy in technology. So what we do is we empower you, enlighten you, and bring experts to the table to provide you that support and empowerment. So thank you, Al, for coming to us today and talking to us about entrepreneurism, and also as a veteran, an entrepreneurial world in the life. And if you're interested in joining our Tech with Heart Network mailing list, please just reach out to us at techwithheartnetwork.com, join our mailing list, and go to Facebook and join our Facebook group, and join us on YouTube as well. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, this is Michelle Calloway, your host at Tech with Heart. Bye-bye.